Psalm 115. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to them. Psalm 115 is right about the middle of your Bible. And tonight I want you to think about just what is it like to give thanks to a God who is able to do everything that he pleases to do. From Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us, he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. When was the last time that you gave thanks to God simply because he is able, that he can do everything, that nothing is too great for him or too difficult for him, that he's in control of everything, even that wind that we hear out there right now, he's in control of it, he controls the wind and the waves. I can't imagine anything more disheartening, perhaps, than to believe in a God who is not able to do what he promises. Think about it. If we had a God who promises victory, but then is not able to give us strength when the waves come, or a God who can't fulfill what he promises, or he goes about his work in a real disinterested way. There are some today who look at God and they see God as this distant deity who maybe has power, but he's generally disinterested in using it in the world today. There's others who look at God and they say, he may be involved, but he's generally powerless. There's others who look at God and say, yes, he's powerful, but he really doesn't operate out of justice and out of love. In Psalm 115, the psalmist celebrates a God who is unlike any other God. He's our all-powerful God, and he does all that he pleases. He does all that he pleases. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul celebrates this God of unlimited power who does all that he pleases when he writes to the church at Ephesus, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And then in Romans he writes, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And then in Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be majesty and dominion and authority from all time, both now and forevermore. Dear friends, our God is able. Unlike the pathetic impotence of the false deities, which we read about in Psalm 115, our God is limitless in his strength. He's unending in his power. He's omnipotent and all competent in everything. He is in the heavens, and yet he does all that he pleases. Some of you know that song by the Maranatha singers, which says, he is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. consider the weakness of any other god or any other created thing that you would be tempted to turn to rather than God, which we talked about in our morning message. In Isaiah 46, verse 2, God says, both the idol and their owners are bowed down. The gods cannot protect the people, and the people cannot protect the gods. Why? Because neither man nor gods that they fashion with their hands are divine. They're not filled with unlimited power and wisdom. Any other gods, they look so real. They have mouths, eyes, hands, feet, but they can't move, they can't respond, and they certainly cannot deliver. And you notice God's final verdict on any idol or any good created thing that we turn into an idol. He says, those who turn to any other god or turn to any other idol, any good created thing, and you make that the idol of your heart, what's the end verdict? Is you will end up becoming like them. So as you turn to anything other than God for your trust and your dependence, you too end up becoming lifeless, unable to respond, less and less a person. That's why Psalm 115, verse 3 has this beautiful statement that I'll just briefly unpack this evening. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. Think about that for a moment. First of all, our God is in the heavens. In other words, he's transcendent, he's supreme, he's majestic, he's unparalleled in splendor. He rules over the heavens, he's sovereign over it all, he's supreme in all the affairs of man. Our God isn't bound by earthly things, he's not limited by where he would reside. Remember Paul in Acts, when he speaks to the church at Athens, or the people in Athens, he says, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in man-made temples. Human hands can't serve him. He has no needs. He gives life and breath to everything. He decides beforehand when nations will rise and when they will fall, and he determines all of their boundaries. Praise be to God that the God that these men are singing about tonight is in the heavens. Praise be to God that this God is in the heaven. He also does. Unlike these lifeless idols who have no power, no energy, can't do anything, praise be to God that our God is active. He's involved. He's not passive. He's not idle. He is immediately, he is intimately involved in your life this evening, right now. He's involved in your life. He is giving you the breath that you need, and these men, the breath that they need to sing. He's giving you an active mind right now that you can comprehend what is being said. He moved your heart to come to worship this evening. Every part of your body, every part of your life is under the control of our God. Consider again what an awesome God we have. When Heidelberg Catechism question answer 1 asks this question, what is our only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and eager from now on to live for him. Dear friend, all of those precious promises, those phrases in that confession answer that we love so much, it's only true for you and for me in Christ, because our God is not only in the heavens, our God has the power to do. Thirdly, our God does all that he pleases. He will not fail in any of his promises. Whatever he plans, he fulfills it. If it's in God's heart to accomplish a goal, it's going to get done. If God has decreed it, it will come to pass. Again, as we read in Ephesians 1:11, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. To those that God has chosen before the creation of the world, which they have sung about, he does all that he pleases. Think about it. He calls you. He regenerates your heart. He gives you the gift of faith. He justifies you. He sanctifies you. He glorifies you. Paul asks, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And the answer is nothing. The God who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. The God who promises to return to take you to be with him will return to take you to be with him, you can have complete assurance of your salvation. Fourthly, the God that does all of this, he does as he pleases. He's free in his sovereignty. He's not conditioned or controlled by anything outside of himself. He is not dependent on my prayers. So when I pray, I'm invited to ask for anything in the name of Jesus. And yet God knows how to perfectly listen to all of those prayers and to respond as is perfect in his will according to his perfections. He alone is wise and perfect. He knows in answering our prayer what would have been the perfect prayer to him, and he responds in that way. So again, my aim in prayer is not so much to bend his will to mine, but it's to bend my will to his. And finally, our God does what he pleases. You don't need to be in fear of what he does. All that he does is an expression of his pleasure for his people. God's pleasure is the fountain for all of God's activity. Think about it. God takes pleasure in being your good shepherd. That when you're wandering, he takes pleasure in finding you, bringing you back, binding up your wounds, being the balm of Gilead to your soul. He takes pleasure in being your great physician when he knows exactly what the good medicine is that you need, what experiences of life, what difficulties to engage in, because he knows as the good doctor what you most need to have a heart that is right with him. He takes pleasure in being your father, the one who loves you unconditionally. He loves you because of his covenantal love through Jesus Christ, the Son. So tonight we celebrate this God. All of these songs these men are singing are rotating around that one central theme that our God is able. So tonight, let's labor to fill our minds with an accurate picture of who our God is. He is mighty and he is merciful. He's gracious and he's great. He's infinitely strong and yet he is infinitely tender toward his people. My prayer as you hear these men sing, as I have read the word and I have preached the word and as they sing the word, is that we will be absolutely breathless this evening in reflecting on what an amazing, great God we have. Why is that important? Two applications. Your spiritual growth, first of all, is governed by your understanding of the greatness of God. If your God is so small, then your spiritual maturity will be small. Those who worship a diminutive deity will remain spiritual pygmies forever. Henry Scovell once said, "The worth and the excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love." So tonight, dear friend, what do you most admire? Who do you most cherish? If our God, the God who is able, is the one that we seek, and we are passionately in love and devoted to this God, then we will have excellency of souls. But secondly, this is what we were created for. We were created to not just think about God and not just obey God. We were created to enjoy this God and rejoice in this God forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Our delight in God, our enjoyment in God, again, will only be as deep as we have accurately a picture of who our God is. You can't enjoy somebody you simply do not know. You can't enjoy somebody you have false information about. So, dear friends, let us be a people of the Word. Let's have our minds and our hearts filled with the Word of God, as God loves to gloriously reveal himself to us through his Word, so that tonight, as we heard the Word, as we heard the Word sung, that we will be a people full of joy and confidence in our God, because our God, he does all that he pleases.